Chapter 9, It's the Final Countdown.
Archie Andrews stands in front of the bathroom mirror and flashes himself a smile.
It's almost time. Aren't I scared? No way! I'm excited. The big spring dance is tonight, and I'm 100% stress-free. It's great.
Still smiling at himself, he squeezes a dab of toothpaste onto a comb.
This is my first gig since I stumbled into playing for the homecoming dance, and I'm super pumped for it. All I'm doing tonight is playing for the dance. I've got zero relationship drama to distract me.
He brushes his teeth with his comb, oblivious.
Certainly not thinking about how it's the second dance of my life where I wasn't with Betty. Definitely not worried about how she'll manage with her crutches. Or how Veronica dumped me and won't return my calls. Or how I haven't been able to land a steady date since.
Archie attempts to comb his hair with his toothbrush.
The music certainly isn't the distraction from my loveless love life. Nope, I'm good, totally focused.
He dresses, trying to step into his blazer like a pair of pants.
Not nervous at all.
Somehow, he manages to tie his bow tie around his wrist and the doorknob.
Completely chill.
His dad's wrist is somehow also tied to the doorknob.
I'm good.
Also somehow, the bow tie is perfect.
Honey, can you bring the scissors?
Chapter 10, Date Fight.
In the fanciest restaurant in Riverdale, Moose, Mason, and Tony Topaz sit opposite each other with their respective dates beside them. Moose is wearing a clip-on tie and short-sleeved shirt, straining at the buttons against his mask. He stares down nervously at the variety of different-sized silverware arranged around his plate. Moose's date, her brown hair styled in an elaborate updo, wrinkles her nose.
Moose Mason, did you put on, let's call it, cologne? What is it? O'Day Roadkill?
Sorry.
Janet!
Tony, sporting a stylish, shoulderless, black-and-white striped gown, sits across the table with her date, a quiet girl in a turquoise dress.
Janet, you hounded him for months to ask you out.
Ugh.
Moose's date waves a dismissive hand.
Going to the dance with a star linebacker is supposed to be a dream. Fittingly, this lumbering, inarticulate dork can barely keep me awake.
Moose doesn't know what to say. Tony is about to retort when a waitress sidles up to their table.
Good evening, everyone.
She wears a petite vest and apron and a dark pixie-cut hairdo. Tony nods at her.
Hey, Midge.
What can I get for you tonight?
Ugh!
Janet stands up and storms off.
A better date?
Janet, wait!
Tony starts to get up, then looks back at the girl in the turquoise dress whose lip is trembling.
No, go ahead. Chase after her.
Huh?
You've been ignoring me all night. I can take a hint.
Sorry, Moose. I gotta do damage control. Sorry.
Tony hurries away, leaving Moose alone. He hangs his head like a scolded dog. Midge, the waitress, is speechless for a moment, amazed how a table of four imploded before her eyes.
So...
She smiles awkwardly and tries to break the ice.
Big dinner before the big dance, right?
Yeah.
Can I get you an appetizer?
Nah.
Let me guess. The T-bone special is your idea of an appetizer.
Heh, kinda.
Midge puts a hand on Moose's shoulder.
For what it's worth, I think you handled that very well. I've known a lot of guys who have lost it over a lot less. She doesn't deserve you.
Thanks.
He smiles bashfully up at her.
Should have asked you.
She blushes in return.
Me? I mean, we barely know each other. I didn't think you even knew who I...
My sun, my stars. My moon above, come night or day, you stay my love.
Midge is amazed.
Last semester I wrote that for English class. You committed it to memory?
Moose shrugs self-consciously.
Liked it. Liked you.
Midge smiles and raises an eyebrow.
Then what are you doing with Janet?
Afraid you'd say no.
You. Afraid.
Moose's face reddens.
Yeah.
Midge tries to contain her excitement, half hiding behind her order book, and plays it cool.
So, I made sure to be scheduled so I could, still go to the dance, just in case. Want a ditch and go with me?
Moose grins widely.
Okay.
Oh my god! Sweet! Okay!
Chapter 11. Like father, like son.
Reggie Mantle stands before the mirror in his parents' bedroom, trying on his dad's ties.
I should have known my old man had no taste, but man, are these slim pickings.
He throws a paisley tie with the other suit ensembles strewn on the floor.
Could have bought something myself when I had the chance.
With your money or mine?
Over his shoulder in the mirror, Reggie sees his father fuming in the doorway.
Are you implying something, Daddy dearest?
Reg drapes a deep green tie around his collar.
This is the least worst one.
Imply nothing, Reggie.
Richard Mantle marches into the room as his son deftly ties a Windsor.
You took my wallet and my car.
I'd say it's fair compensation for all you put me through.
Mantle grabs Reggie by the lapels.
What I put you through?
Oh, whoa, whoa. Easy on the material. It's your suit, after all.
You
parasite?
Reggie's dad's eyes grow wide, and the look of rage in his eyes softens. Reggie's smile turns to a sneer.
He's not my employee. He's my son, unfortunately. You to mom. Last night, your house.
Reggie, son, my temper sometimes gets the better of me, and I say things, but you...
Let go of me.
Mantle backs off, hands up. Reggie smooths out his jacket.
The point I was trying to make was family should help family. I used my connections to get you out of jail with a slap on the wrist. The least you can do is tell me what dirt you have on the blossoms.
Reggie studies himself in the mirror, slicking back a stray hair.
Forget about it. It's old news at this point.
Let me be the judge of that. A scandal is as fresh as when it's published.
Reg brushes past Mantle, his hand dipping into his dad's pocket as he goes.
Which is part of the reason I'm spilling it tonight at the dance, and not to you.
What was that? Reggie, get back here! We're not done yet!
Mantle follows Reg downstairs and out the front door, where he sees his son getting into Mantle's black Lexus.
Enjoy your walk! I took back my key and still have yours, remember?
You mean the one I just lifted off you?
What?
Don't wait up!
Chapter 12, Memory Lane.
The disco ball hung from the ceiling of the Riverdale High Gymnasium reflects glints of colored light off the shiny, bald head of Waldo Weatherby as he stands near a pair of decorative papier-mâché Greek columns, watching the excited young couples arrive for the spring dance.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. I feel like I've spent my whole life here. I've seen it all play out time and again. The breakups, the drama, the new love. That's like clockwork. Both bewitchingly familiar and tiresomely old hat.
Chuck Clayton suddenly snaps him out of his reverie.
Bee, behind you!
What?
Weatherby turns to see a column falling straight towards him.
Oh!
He deftly catches the big hollow prop and glares at none other than Deer in Headlights Archie Andrews, who, of course, had managed to knock over the column with his guitar case.
Nice catch.
To the stage, Mr. Andrews.
Archie clutches the guitar case to his chest and meekly scurries off, and Chuck Clayton hurries over to help the principal set the column back upright.
Some things I won't miss.
Why?
Chuck peers at the bee curiously.
Are you going somewhere?
Not today, Mr. Clayton. Not today.
Up on stage, Jughead wears his usual crowned beanie and jean vest, not bothering to dress up. He leans against a soundboard, coolly scrolling through his phone, while Archie bumps the mic stand.
Whoa! Whoa!
He manages to keep it from tipping.
Crisis averted.
Archie bumps the guitar stand. Juggy doesn't look up from his phone.
Watch the goods.
What are you...
Arch leaps to save his guitar, then climbs to his feet and slings the strap over his shoulder.
Okay, I'm here. I'm on time. I have pants. Everything is going to be fine.
The band's not coming.
What?
Jughead holds up his phone for Archie to see, who tears at his hair in full panic mode.
You need to spend more time on social media. And that's coming from me.
Sure enough, all of Archie's bandmates have posted status updates throughout the day.
Some jerk broke my nose and pops. No singing tonight. Sad face.
Dropped my bass, cracked it bad. Can't play. Sucks.
Super sick right now. Barf emoji.
Little does Archie know that he was the inadvertent cause of each AWOL bandmate.
Why is this happening to me?
Archie buries his face in his hands as Jughead continues to scroll through his phone.
You are a magnet for chaos. It's really something to watch.
I can't do the whole dance solo.
The show must go on. So we'll just find a local group to fill in.
Really? An indie band in town that'll show up at this?
Got one.
For a moment, Archie is speechless.
Share your powers with me.
They're mine and mine alone, mortal.
Arch crowds in cheek to cheek with Jug to see some website called Gig Finder with a promo photo of the rock band Josie and the Pussycats.
Josie and her crew are looking for gigs in our area. She'll do us a solid.
Great! Let me call them and...
No. We need this to work. I'll set everything up. You do you.
Juggy heads off stage, and Archie steps up to the mic.
I hope everyone's feeling good tonight. The band is running a little late, so we're going to take it easy while everyone's getting in. This one goes out to our very own Principal Weatherby.
Meanwhile, just outside the gym, Veronica Lodge helps Betty Cooper out of the Lodge limousine. They both look radiant.
Betty, are you sure you don't want Smithers to bring your crutches out? It won't be a bother, will it, Smithers?
Never is, madam.
I'm sure, Ronnie. Thank you, Mr. Smithers, but it's okay. I'll be aching tomorrow, but I want to be here on my own 2 feet tonight.
I'll support you, darling. Both physically and spiritually. Whichever gives out first.
Elsewhere in the parking lot, Moose Mason helps Midge out of his truck.
Thanks for stopping by my place so I could freshen up. I did in a rush and I didn't want... am I okay?
Moose is starry-eyed.
Perfect.
Midge gleefully hugs on to Moose's arm.
You're a man of few words, but you sure make them count.
As they walk toward the gym, Reggie Mantle power slides his dad's car into a parking space. He gets out, full of swagger, and passes by the Blossom Twins, each with dates in tow that look like gaunt, heavy-lidded supermodels.
You've got a lot of nerves showing up, Mantle.
Reggie grins smugly as he walks on.
Just you wait. Tonight's gonna be amazing.
Jason and Cheryl visibly stiffen as they watch him go.
He wouldn't dare, would he?
If he does, it'll be the last thing he ever does.
At that same moment, Eddie Shears, still dressed as a prison guard, sits in his stolen car in the school parking lot and loads a pistol magazine.
Man, oh man, this takes me back. Had a lot of firsts at my last high school dance.
Eddie grins and chambers around.
Good news, kids. Daddy's here.
Chapter 13. Powder Keg.
On stage inside the gym, Archie is just finishing up his solo when the stage doors swing open and Josie McCoy saunters in, followed by her bandmates Melody Valentine and Valerie Brown.
Hey! Somebody order a rescue band?
Yes! Perfect! Thank you! Oh, I never thought it would all come together, but thank God everything is finally okay.
While Josie and the Pussycats set up their instruments and begin to play, Jughead moseys over to the refreshment table and grazes on the finger sandwiches. Betty and Veronica join him.
Jughead, you came.
I'd be surprised, but your attire makes the scenario more acceptable.
Ladies?
Jug raises an eyebrow and gestures with a sandwich.
So, was Archie the only thing keeping you two apart, or what?
If
we came together as mutual support.
Ah, double stag. I approve. Down with the social norms. Defy expectations. Ow.
Pass me another sandwich.
I ask again, what do deer have to do with this? Yes, laugh at my ignorance. You know, you could be here on Archie's arm.
I get it, Ronnie. You conceded defeat.
A first in Lodge history, I assure you.
Betty looks toward the stage, where Archie jams alongside Josie.
But we've been over this. I can't be sure what Archie wants from an us anymore.
Betty shivers and holds herself.
I can't be sure what I want.
Veronica hugs her.
Oh, and now I've gone and upset you, little doe.
Careful. Jug might think you're fawning over me again.
Oh, stop. Puns are beneath you, sweetheart.
Wah-wah.
Jughead holds up a cup of punch, toasting like the Great Gatsby.
Thank you for defusing that drama bomb, Veronica. You should learn to be as happy and content as I.
That's because you have no aspirations outside of finding your next meal.
I refuse to be forage-shamed. Good day, madam.
Meanwhile, on the fringe of the dance floor, Principal Weatherby and Miss Grundy stand next to each other, contented smiles on their faces.
Oh, I love chaperoning these things. It makes me feel young again, but with better skin. So, you're still going through with it?
Yes, ma'am. Tonight, I announce my retirement to the students. I do hope they have the decency not to cheer too loudly.
Grundy squeezes Weatherby's hand.
We'll miss you, Waldo. You've been a godsend for this school.
Thank you, Geraldine. It's been a pleasure working with you.
Outside, Eddie Shears wraps a heavy chain around the gymnasium door handles and padlocks it tight. Back inside on the dance floor, Little Midge and Towering Moose nearly collide with the Blossom Twins, who sneer at them.
Goodness, look at the size of the wart on Mason's hand.
Oh, no, wait! He managed to find a date!
Moose's jaw clenches, but Midge flashes a smile.
Oh my gosh, you guys! I love your accessories!
Cheryl preens.
Oh! You can't be all bad if you can appreciate.
Do they have names? Or do you just call them...
Midge gestures to the supermodelish dates on the Blossom's arms.
Thing one and thing two.
Moose beams and spins Midge back onto the dance floor.
Savage!
Jason and Cheryl glower after them, fuming. One of their dates raises a perfect finger.
You do know my name, right?
Quiet thing, too.
Up on stage, Archie wipes his brow and grins at the crowd.
We're going to take five, everyone. If you want to meet the band that's got my back tonight, Josie and the Pussycats will be at their merch table just behind the stage.
In the crowd, Principal Weatherby furrows his brow.
Josie and the what? Merchandise table?
As Archie turns to go, Reggie Mantle saunters on stage from the wings and takes the mic.
All right, now that the noise is done,
It's time for some real entertainment.
Archie steps in, and Reg puts a hand over the microphone.
What are you doing, Reggie?
Relax. I'm after different gingers than you tonight.
Reggie shoves Archie away.
Ladies and gentle jerks of Riverdale High, your favorite classmate has the juiciest bit of gossip for you.
In the crowd, Jason and Cheryl shove their way toward the exit, leaving their dates behind.
This does not bode well.
Let's get out of here. Whatever happens, we can do damage control over the weekend.
Push or pull, Cheryl. Doors only open so many ways.
They won't open at all.
On stage, all eyes are on Reggie and the red-headed security guard coming up behind him.
Our self-styled Prince and Princess Blossom want you to think they're Riverdale royalty. Sure, they come from money, but what they didn't tell anyone was that their real dad...
Right here! Whoa!
Eddie Shears takes the mic stand. He looms over Reggie, who looks like he's about to pee his pants.
Thanks for the intro, Reginald.
Eddie! How are you?
Run along now.
Reggie scrambles into the crowd, terrified. Eddie smirks, amused and satisfied.
That's right, boys and girls. My name is Edward Shears. I'm the real father of your classmates, Jason and Cheryl Blossom. I let myself out of Oswald Penitentiary tonight to finally see my kids again. So, why didn't you bring them forward, huh?
Did he say penitentiary?
In the back of the gym, Jason looks shell-shocked while Cheryl is panicking.
He's come for us. Oh, God. What are we going to... Huh?
The Blossom twins are confounded to see a group of students back up to them, surrounding and hiding them from view.
What are you people doing?
Shh.
Chuck Clayton is beside her, his eyes on the stage.
Just keep out of sight.
Jason and Cheryl look around in disbelief.
They're hiding us?
Why?
My bad. I forgot to use the magic word.
Amused with himself, Eddie pulls out his handgun and holds it over his head.
Bring them up here. Now. Please.
The crowd of students around the twins look at each other, afraid and unsure. Jason and Cheryl push through them, heads bowed, resigned to their fate.
This is your plan?
Shh! Listen to these townies and keep your head down and out of sight.
Eddie smiles as he watches the two red-headed teenagers approaching the stage.
There we go, that's much better. By the way, I can see the glow of those phone screens. I know you're texting for help.
For a moment, the student body freezes. Eddie gestures with his gun, encouraging them.
No need to hide it. Go for it. Call 911. Call your parents. Call the news. I want this public.
Eddie steps away from the mic and turns his attention to Jason and Cheryl, who cower on stage in front of him.
All right, then. Jason? Cheryl?
Yes?
So she kept your first names, at least. Cheryl, you get your salvo mother on the line. You tell her to wire everything in her account into mine. Pronto. She has the info. She's been paying me off years. Oh, by the way, surprise. Jason, you call your placebo of a dad and tell him to send the family helicopter for us.
For us?
Oh, yeah. We're all leaving this burg as one big, happy family.
Jason and Cheryl turn to each other excitedly.
Finally!
They pull out their phones and start dialing.
No more being cut off. We finally have what's rightfully ours.
We'll live a life of riches and intrigue. Vagabond rogues with our real father.
Eddie holds a fist to his mouth, masking his laughter.
Willing hostages are easier to handle, I suppose.
What was that, Daddy?
Nothing, sweetie. You just get that money moving.
Meanwhile, backstage, Josie and the Pussycats are huddled behind their merch table, petrified.
Oh, I hope there's a way out of here.
Archie crawls over to them, looking over his shoulder.
No good. The doors on this side of the gym are locked, too.
Then what are we gonna do?
Archie peeks out into the audience and sees his best friends in the whole world. Betty, Veronica, and Jughead hiding underneath the refreshment table. They see him, too, and Archie's eyes narrow in steely determination. Archie nods to Josie and begins to sneak forward.
The locker rooms are just down that hall. Hide there.
Wait, what are you gonna do?
The best I can.
As Arch stealthily steps onto the stage behind Eddie and the Blossom Twins, the students in the audience take notice. Veronica stifles a scream. Betty clutches at her heart. Jughead takes off his beanie and bites on the brim. As Archie carefully picks up his guitar from his stand, he can hear the Blossoms barking commands into their phones.
And then you'll give me your banking login so I can check those numbers.
Yes, tonight. When else, idiot?
Archie hefts his guitar like a baseball bat, jaw set, eyes afire, as he prepares to smash Eddie over the head. But Cheers suddenly points the pistol at him without even looking. Archie freezes.
You know what the difference is between a hero and a martyr?
Eddie turns his head cockily and smirks at Archie.
Martyrs don't know when to quit.
Archie smiles weakly as he gingerly sets his guitar down.
It wasn't loaded anyway.
Cute. You got guts. Now get off the stage before I put a bullet through him.
Hands in the air, Archie backs down the stairs off the stage towards the refreshment table. The crowd parts for him, equal parts awed and scared. Eddie watches him with a sneer on his face, then cocks the hammer and points the pistol at Archie's chest.
Pow!
Archie flails, falling over into the waiting arms of Ronnie, Betts, and Jug. He clutches at his chest. Eddie lets the gun hang limply and doubles over in laughter. Veronica leans to Arch.
Darling, he didn't shoot.
He may as well have, because he just about scared me to death.
Betty smiles nervously and shakes her head.
You're insane. You know that?
Yeah. But now I'm back with you guys.
That's swell, but now what?
Now what indeed? Minutes pass by like hours for the hostages inside the gymnasium, while outside, a crowd of terrified parents crowd against the police cordon around the school, expressions of fear and helplessness on everyone's face. Crouched on the ground with his friends near the refreshment table, Archie shakes his head grimly.
I can't imagine what our parents are going through right now. I'm not sure how we're going to get out of this.
Daddy said he's hiring professionals to handle this, but it may take them some time to arrive.
And we don't know when that lunatic is going to snap.
Elsewhere in the crowd, Tony Topaz nudges Kevin Keller with her elbow.
Hey, can't you do something?
What do you want me to do?
You grew up on an army base, right?
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, sneak up there and use your soldier foo on him.
If I had my hunting rifle and he were a deer, I might be able to do something. You need to be specially trained or especially sick to just shoot another person.
Kevin folds his arms indignantly.
And living on base doesn't instantly make you Rambo.
I was thinking more James Bond.
He's British. I lived on American army bases.
That's not what I... Oh, never mind.
On stage, Eddie Shears checks his watch, then approaches Jason and Cheryl, who are engrossed in their phones.
How's the helicopter coming, Jason?
I'm working on it. Father rolled over immediately, but needs the exact coordinates of the gym for some reason. I'm Googling them now.
He's stalling for time. Cheryl, the money?
Our lives are on the line, Mother! He has a gun!
Cheryl holds a hand over her phone's microphone and smiles at Eddie.
Your ex is being difficult, Daddykins, but I think I've almost broken her.
Eddie smirks and inspects his pistol.
Good. You two will finally make up for ruining everything.
The Blossom twins blink and look at each other. Then their expressions harden as they simultaneously turn to Eddie.
Excuse you?
You heard me. Had a good thing going. Money, respect, a hot redhead on my arm. But then you two came along, and your mother lost the Reg. Everything had to be about the kids, or the future.
Eddie casually brandishes his gun.
Well, here we are. It's all about you two now. And you're my ticket to a better future.
Cheryl and Jason stare at their biological father coldly, then raise their phones to their ears.
I'll call you back.
So, this promised life of travel and intrigue was just a ruse, then?
You never intended to share the fortune with us at all!
You made up all that fluff. I chose not to correct you.
Eddie calmly aims his pistol at his children.
You're my hostages, and you can either cooperate or be made to cooperate. So sit down, call your mother, and get me my money.
All bravado gone, Jason and Cheryl back away, their hands in the air. Back at the refreshment table, Archie and friends watch the drama unfolding on stage.
I guess he's done playing nice. I hate this. We need to do something.
We have to think, Archie. Panicking and acting rash is only going to make things worse.
Jughead reaches up and grabs another finger sandwich. Veronica squints at him.
How can you be eating at a time like this?
I'm a very nervous eater.
Archie glares at Eddie on the stage.
If there was some way to hit him from a distance, huh?
Like when you turn the tennis ball launcher into a rapid-fire hazard?
Just hand him a basketball. He won't make a shot, but he'll hit everyone within 50 yards.
It's a miracle the gym is still standing after all the disasters Archie's caused.
Jughead trails off, and Betty and Veronica's eyes grow wide as they all have the same realization.
That's it.
Betts envisions Archie accidentally triggering the sprinkler system, distracting Shears long enough for her to wallop the gunman with her crutches. Ronnie envisions Archie accidentally releasing the giant projection screen, clocking Shears in the head. Jug envisions Archie accidentally extending the retracted bleachers, entangling Shears like a spider in a web. They huddle up excitedly out of Archie's earshot, who still gazes determinedly at the stage.
We weaponize Archie's good luck.
He always comes out unscathed. It's everyone else who gets nailed by it.
But he can't know that's what we're planning. That throws off the mojo.
Ronnie digs her phone from her designer handbag, while Betts glances nervously over to Archie.
He'll need cover. We don't want to push our luck. His luck. I mean,
I'm already on it. I'm texting everyone the plan.
Veronica presses send. Jug looks incredulous.
What? There's no way you have everybody's cell.
Of course she does.
Veronica types rapidly on her phone, while Betty shimmies over to Archie and tugs at his sleeve.
Archie, we have a plan.
We do?
Ronnie is organizing a distraction. When it happens, you get to the stage and crank the speakers. One chord on your guitar should be enough to disarm the gunman so we can rush him. But whatever you do...
Betty draws in close to Archie, her blue eyes blazing with intensity.
Don't go near the touchy fire alarm. Do not cue the finicky projector screen. And for the love of God, use the bleachers for cover. Carefully.
Betty looks over to Veronica, who nods and hovers her finger over the send button.
Go.
Throughout the gymnasium, the Riverdale High School student body clicks on the link that Veronica just sent them. On stage, Eddie Shears tilts his head and shields his eyes against the stage lights, peering out into the crowd.
The hell?
He sees hundreds of phones held up in the air, playing the same video of an adorable corgi in sunglasses playing the keyboard. Archie crouches low as he sneaks through the crowd. He stumbles next to a wall-mounted fire alarm and reaches out, barely missing the alarm as he regains his balance and scuttles behind the bleachers like a crab. Betty, Jughead, and Veronica are riveted as they watch in tense anticipation, waiting for Archie to accidentally trigger the bleachers. But instead, he emerges from the other side and heads up the stairs into the backstage area.
Did he come out cleaner?
Archie peeks around the edge of the stage. Eddie Shears still has his attention on the crowd.
Okay, knock it off!
Archie tiptoes carefully over to the audio-visual control panel, but trips over the wires. He catches himself against the control panel, the screen release button between his splayed fingers, somehow unpressed. Archie is oblivious to the look of stunned horror on his pals' faces as he does what he was instructed to do and slides the guitar input volume all the way up. He peeks around the stage curtain and gives a thumbs up toward the refreshment table. Jughead facepalms. Veronica is mortified, and only Betty can muster a weak thumbs up in return. Archie sneaks toward his guitar, still laying on the stage where he left it.
What?
Eddie spins to see the freckled, red-headed would-be hero reaching for the guitar.
You again!
He aims his pistol right at Archie, who freezes and backpedals, hands in the air.
You should have listened earlier, kid.
No!
Eddie squints into the audience to see Principal Weatherby charging head-on for the stage.
What the?
He turns and begins to take aim at the bee. Archie dives for his guitar, but faceplants mere inches from it as it is swept up by none other than Reggie Mantle, who pulls a pick from his pocket and begins to shred. Everyone in the gym puts their hands over their ears while the most god-awful noise in the world is pumped out of the maxed-out sound system. Eddie Shears drops his gun as he recoils in agony, clasping his hands over his ears. Archie, his index fingers stuck in his ears, gazes up at Reggie in astonishment.
Ow!
Reg grins, bright orange earplugs in his ears, and waggles his phone. On it, Archie can see the mass text that Veronica sent. A pained and disoriented Eddie Shears picks himself up, recovering from the sound blast. Reggie strides over, picks up the pistol, and aims it at him.
You're done, Eddie.
Eddie snarls at him in rage.
You...
Suddenly, Jason and Cheryl Blossom kick Shears in tandem behind the knees, and he crumples to the ground.
Huh.
Reggie backs away, a little unnerved by the Blossom twins' savagery as they continue to kick Eddie, who cowers on the stage floor, defenseless. He turns to Principal Weatherby at the foot of the stage and squats down, offering the pistol to him.
Here you go, B. Doubt you trust me to hold on to this.
I... Thank you, Mr. Mantle.
Weatherby takes the gun as the Blossom twins begin cocooning their father with streamers and banners that the student body passes up to the stage.
You'll be such a festive mummy.
I do hope you're losing circulation.
Cheryl!
Betty Cooper makes her way to them.
Are you and Jason all right?
I... well...
Cheryl throws herself into Betty's arms and sobs dramatically.
Oh, God! Finally, the nightmare is over!
Meanwhile, the bee breathes a sigh of relief as he dials a number on his phone.
Sergeant, this is Principal Weatherby. The gunman has been disarmed and subdued. I will text you a picture now. Please open the front center door so the students may be attended to in a calm, orderly manner.
Soon, Riverdale's finest are able to cut the chains on the gymnasium doors, and the shaken but giddy students are reunited with their parents, tears of joy in every eye. Shears is taken away in handcuffs, statements are given to the police, and the most memorable spring dance in Riverdale High's history is finally over.
Reggie! Reggie!
Over there! I thought I heard him!
Richard and Vicky Mantle push their way inside the gym and find their son giving an interview to a local news crew.
And I know I've got a, well, reputation in this town. So I had to do the right thing, you know?
The reporter nods in sympathy and holds the microphone to him.
You were involved in the street racing accident, correct?
Reggie nods, full of humility.
Yeah, I was in the wrong. And I'll never be able to properly make it up to Betty Cooper. I just hope that tonight will show everyone I'm trying. That maybe they'll forgive me.
He looks away and bites his lower lip.
And that Dad doesn't use this new tragedy to his benefit.
Richard Mantle is aghast, realizing that his son has him in checkmate. Reg glances over at him and winks. Meanwhile, Weatherby approaches the Andrews family. Archie breaks away from his parents to shake the principal's hand.
B! I mean...
Mr. Andrews.
I wanted to say thank you. You just charged that guy to save me.
Yes, well, you showed a tremendous amount of courage tonight yourself.
Archie smiles bashfully, then looks up, a curious expression on his freckled face.
Hey, there was a rumor going around you were thinking of retiring this year. Please say that isn't true.
Weatherby smiles and shakes his head.
No, I think I'm still needed here. At least until you've graduated and gotten a safe distance away from my school.
Maybe I'll get a teaching degree and come right back.
The principal fishes a handkerchief out of his breast pocket and mops his bald brow.
It's been a long night, Mr. Andrews. My heart can't take much more.
All seems well at Riverdale High, and the stragglers make their way out of the gym. Archie, Betty, Veronica, and Jughead are among the last to leave.
Pops! Who's up for Pops?
My treat.
I could be talked into it.
By a coffee table.
Principal Weatherby is left alone in the gymnasium, the floor strewn with clutter and debris. A wistful expression on his face, he walks thoughtfully over to the gym's light switch, next to a banner that reads, Riverdale High School, established 1941.
Good night, boys and girls.
Archie, Volume 6 by Mark Waid, with Ian Flynn and Audrey Mock, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2018 Archie Comics, all rights reserved. Production copyright 2022 Graphic Audio LLC, all rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Bradley Foster Smith, featuring Rob Moreira as Archie, Joel David Santner as Reggie, Rainer Gabriel as Eddie, Tria Leong as Betty, Yasmin Tauzon as Cheryl, Jason Keller as Jason, Laura C. Harris as Veronica, Alejandro Ruiz as Jughead, and Terrence Azelford as Weatherby, with additional performances by Wynn Delano, Tanya Maloyevich, Rob McFadgen, Matthew Schley, Nusha Nawab, Dawn Ursula, Colleen Delaney, Nazia Chowdhury, Nora Eshrati, Richard Rowan, Holly Adams, Ken Jackson, Sarah Matzi Colby, Michael John Casey, Nicole Perez, Torian Brackett, Shravan Amin, Nanette Savard, Rose Elizabeth Stupan, and Mort Shelby. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Bradley Foster Smith. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Michael Hanusiak. Original theme by David Zitney. Additional original music by Robert McDonald. Produced by Rick Rowan, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Executive producer, Angie Cornett. If you've enjoyed Mark Waid's take on Archie, you might also like Vampironica, Jughead the Hunger, or The Archie Wedding. Available now, along with thousands of thrilling titles, at www.graphicaudio.net. There have been many great questions down through history. Is there life among the stars? What is the meaning of life? Is a hot dog a sandwich? But perhaps the most daunting question of them all, Betty or Veronica? Today's the day that Archie Andrews has to choose. Or does he? Archie Comics and Graphic Audio present The Archie Wedding. Archie in Will You Marry Me?
Archie!
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 An event 80 years in the making as Archie gets married.
Veronica, will you marry me?
Twice.
Betty Cooper, will you marry me?
America's favorite redheaded teenager is all grown up.
Food fight!
Well, maybe not all grown up. Join Archie, Veronica, Betty, Reggie, and Jughead in their first laugh-filled adventure in graphic audio. The Archie Wedding. Archie in Will You Marry Me? Fun for all ages.
Oh! Oops! Sorry, Mr. Lodge.
Oh, that boy.
Thanks for listening to this graphic audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,500 titles to choose from. Listen to over 150 binge-worthy series, from sci-fi to fantasy, to graphic novels, to mystery thrillers, to action-adventure, to westerns, and more. Check out our exclusive titles, available only in our dramatized adaptation format. If you'd like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase a download series set at graphicaudio.net. You can also earn loyalty reward points, redeemable towards future online purchases. Stream audiobooks immediately or download them to listen offline on your mobile phone or tablet using our Graphic Audio Access app, which is available on all Android and Apple devices. We like being radically different when it comes to our audiobook productions. Listen to A Movie in Your Mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Visit our web store today at graphicaudio.net.